All right, welcome back now. 8 minutes past five. This is Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Constance Mega. So let's talk about electoral violence in Rivers State. And I ask, how can electoral violence be curbed in Rivers State? How do we put an end to electoral violence? Is it possible? I think it's possible. But how can that happen? So with me in the studio for this conversation is a global ambassador, Livingstone Mimbiri. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Constance. Good evening, listeners.
All right. So just to also let you know, you can join the conversation, get on Facebook and find us there. Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. And then you can join the conversation also on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. And then you can also get on Instagram and be a part of what we're doing, Nigeria Info FM underscore PH. So let's quickly delve into it. All right, Mr. Mimbiri, River State has a history of electoral violence over the years. Even at some point, it was dubbed Rivers of Blood. I think that was around 2018 or so, 2019.
Yeah.
With this, is it fair, given the history, to say that this is a volatile place during elections?
Yes, it is fair because if we go back and look at the election timeline over a period of time, violence has been very consistent in River State. So we should say that, talking about election violence, River State is a very fragile state in terms of election violence.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the places that over time, because of course, even in the same River State, I remember, I think it was in 2015 or so, I even got calls from some people asking whether I'm safe or not safe. And I'm wondering, where I am, there's nothing happening. So can we like look at some of the areas that are usually very hot during elections period, and why these areas are the way they are?
Okay, every part of River State is hot.
Yeah, but there are some places almost like no-go areas.
If we look at the intensity, we can mention local governments like Asaritoro, local government like Kana, Eche, Abua Odual, yes. Every part is hot. I just can't pick it up. But if you are talking of the number of fatalities, then we can begin to pick areas. For instance, in 2019, officially, they said 8 persons died in Akukutoro. But unofficially, the numbers is way higher than what was put out in the public domain. So we cannot say we have to look one particular space in River State and define it as being very hot when it comes to election violence. Because over time, as a practitioner in the field, we know that violence migrates.
Mm.
So what happens in Port Harcourt Township can in 2 or 3 minutes trigger another round of violence in Buguma. What happens in Buguma can cause violence in Abonima. What happens there can cause violence in Kana, just like that. So, because the actors are so closely knitted that what happens, violence is no longer localized in River State. So you see a situation where somebody is maybe attacked in Port Harcourt and there's a retaliation elsewhere. So that's just it.
Okay. So are we going to maybe like attribute this to cultism as well? Because we know that this is also a place where cultism has really thrived, if I would use that word. And usually towards elections, it's as if there's a kind of advert for them where everyone wants to show that they are actually still available in case, anybody wants to talent.
The key actors, whether those in the political scene and or those in the field, they are all cultists. So cultism is a major driving factor of political violence. It's a major driving factor. Now look at 1999, the elections of 1999. Well, at that stage, Nigeria's democracy is experimental. Will it work or will it not work? At that point, everybody was like, let's try. Let's not do anything so that the military won't
we'll
have any.
Yes.
But beyond 1999, looking at the Niger Delta agitations and all of that, cultism became a residual factor. Cultism became a residual factor of the Niger Delta agitation. So we are living with it, we are breathing it, and it is there. So what happens is, towards election, people want to now control territories. They want to be, you know, and if you are going to so-and-so local government, you have to meet General A, General B, General C. So in doing that, they involve themselves in a lot of criminal activities to get weapons, to even make noise. The average youth believe that it is only when you make noise, when you show your force.
That's why I called it adverts.
Yes, that
them.
The politicians will call you. You understand? So as I am now, Livingstone, if I take up one AK-47 and even shot in the air, he has AK-47, we will work with him. You understand? So, just before the election, you see these people trying to regroup. Even groups that are existing before try to break up to form smaller groups for the purpose of identity. What happens on the day of the election, it is these boys that they give security money. And for you to earn that security money, security fee, security vote, or whatever it is called, you have to show working. And show working means you have to exhibit some reasonable extent of violence for you to be recognized and to be given that stipend. Now, even before the election day, a lot of things happen. And that's why I want us to put the context of this discussion not just in the number of deaths.
No, we're not even looking at number of deaths.
Okay.
We're just discussing electoral violence as a whole. And of course, what I'm also driving at is how it can be curbed, right? Now, recently, the candidates of the different political parties in River State had to sign the peace accord.
It doesn't work that way.
I'm not asking you a question and you're answering me.
It doesn't work that way. You're doing something. You're just, you know, trying to show people that you are peaceful when in your conduct, in the way you utter your statements, in your actions, everything about you is violence. So it doesn't work. We can't get peace by signing a sheet of paper, no.
But agreements are reached and people sign to agree and agree.
What?
That even
which
if I'm
election has there not been peace accord? In every election, it's more like part of let us just do it. If you look at River State, it is only the grace of God that is keeping this state. By all the indices for explosion in River State, everything is ticked off. Everything.
When you say indices for explosion,
yes.
Could you explain, please?
Okay. For instance, there are laws that have been enacted, executive orders that have been enacted, that has pushed some political parties to one corner, while candidates of the ruling party seem not to be affected by those laws. So you see the ruling party in the state, the People's Democratic Party, they hold their rallies whenever they want because they are the government. They apply to themselves, they approve for themselves. And there are also instances I know SDP has had altercation before when the former commissioner of police called all the parties, the candidates and party leaders to this peace accord you're talking about, one has been signed already, right? The deputy governorship candidate of the SDP stated that some of our supporters are being bullied. That it got to a point where there was a physical confrontation. So I think if you will agree with me, what is happening in River State, it is only the grace of God that has not made it to escalate to the point of a violent confrontation.
Yeah, but then nobody is escalate, that's the word you used. But I also believe that the other political parties, the ones who are aggrieved, can as well take the matter up in the courts. We have the courts to help out.
Yeah, you're talking about courts. We also have the Constitution. The Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria gives people unalienable rights, like right to peaceful gathering, right to belonging to a political party, right
but nobody has stopped anybody from belonging.
Nobody has, but they says who? In some local governments, even if you have to celebrate your birthday, you have to take permission from the local government council. It's happening in... I can mention names.
Can I get an example of...
In Asarito local government.
How recently did this happen? No, I'm hearing it for the first time, that people have to take permission to celebrate their birthday. Is it to do it at night, you know, because they'll be disturbing every other person, or...
No, normal birthday celebration. You know, the first executive order prevented politicians from using public schools. And for you to use a public school, you have to pay...
Public spaces.
Public spaces, yeah. You have to pay five million and get permit. But the Asarito local government, as far as I know, was working on a bylaw, to even include burials, marriages, and other things. So these are signs to show that if people are not careful at that level, at community level, it will trigger a lot of trouble, a lot of issues. So like I said before, the signs are there, but it's not that bad because we can still do things.
Yeah, with the pockets of violence that we've heard of recent, maybe some pockets of attacks.
Yeah.
The SDP has reported some. I think also, was it the APC or so? It wasn't APC. Some Atiku supporters who were said to be attacked in a Maluku government area. What should be the reaction of the police in River State at this time?
That was what I said. I have been involved in a project called Nonviolence Election Project for 3 elections. What we did was to set up an early warning and early response mechanism. So, you see, violence does not occur in a vacuum. It occurs in a context, and you will know with what is going on, you will know if it will lead to violent confrontation or not. So what the police, like I advised the former commissioner of police to do, is to begin to look at credible civil society organizations that have the experience and the contact in the communities that can set up an early warning and an early response sign. But again, what is early warning and response when there is no prosecution? So anybody that goes against the provisions of the law should be arrested and prosecuted to serve as deterrent to others. If today somebody does something and it goes scot-free, or maybe he was arrested and in 2 minutes the powers that be make 1 or 2 phone calls and the person is out, it emboldens others. So I worked with a non-governmental organization called Academic Associate Peace Works, AAPW. And we foresaw what happened in Akukutoro, that they attacked during the last presidential election. We foresaw it. We reported to several quarters that action, but because as at that time funding to that NGO, did not include Akukutoro local government. We reported that nothing was done. In Asaritoro local government, because of the effort we put in place, working with security, working with other, even community leaders, we were able to curb election day violence. A lot of things happen, but usually on the day of the election, somebody will die in that local government. But for the...
Okay, now talking about what you just mentioned, you talked about collaborating with community leaders.
Yes.
We're looking at how election violence or electoral violence can actually be curbed.
Yes.
All right. So I've asked what the police should be doing at this time. I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking, we'll go on a commercial break. But I want to find out what should be the response also of the police with regards to collaborating with community leaders to ensure that, just like I discussed the vote buying, underage voting yesterday, and also the matter of communities ensuring that such does not happen in their domain came up. All right. So we cannot even curb electoral violence if the security operatives are working in isolation with the community leaders.
I agree with you.
So I want to find out what that collaboration should be like. What should they be doing with them? But we'll have that conversation after this commercial break. Do stay tuned. It's still Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on Hard Facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back now. It is still Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be wrapping up the conversation in a few minutes. And we're still discussing electoral violence in River State. And I'm asking you, how can electoral violence be curbed in River State? Well, of course, some stakeholders in the state have warned that electoral violence during the 2023 elections may be worse than what was witnessed in 2019. Now, if you would recall, there have been recent reports of political violence in some parts of the state, and of course, agitations of some sort from some political parties and some other people following the signing of Executive Orders 21 and 22. Now, recently, the Inspector General of Police, IGP Usman Baba, blamed recent political violence in the country on some state governors. He actually said this during a meeting with the leadership of political parties and other stakeholders. I think that was last week, Thursday, in Abuja. Well, the National Security Advisor, Babagana Monguno, recently disclosed that the country has witnessed 52 cases of electoral violence in 22 states in 1 month. And that's incredible. Now, for a state like Rivers that has over time had a history or experiences of electoral violence during the elections, before the elections, and after the elections, it is likely that we will have electoral violence in the 2023 elections. But how can we curb it? What can be done to ensure that we do not have it happen, maybe as much as the last times, or ensure that it doesn't even happen at all? These are acts that are perpetrated by human beings, not children, adults. So they can be stopped. We have security agencies. What can they do? We have community leaders. What can they do? All right, with me in the studio, I still have Mr. Livingstone Membere, who's a global peace ambassador in the studio. All right, Membere, before we went on that break, I was asking for what a collaboration between the security agencies, of course, the police, and community leaders, what should that collaboration be like?
Okay, we called it the Community Stakeholder Network. And the composition of that network is we have a representative of the chiefs. For instance, in Awoda East local government, the present is Ezekpeye Logbo. Was the chairman of the Community Stakeholder Network. Why did we do so? We did that because he has the clout to talk to people. Yeah. He commands that respect. In Asaritoro, the Amanyanabo of Kalabari, the late Amanyanabo of Kalabari, was the chairman of the Community Stakeholder Network.
So it's more like the leaders.
Yes.
Become the leaders as well.
Yes.
Of the network.
So, you know, not everybody can come on board. So we have representation from the chiefs, from the youths, the women, faith-based organization. We had a clergyman. We had who we call the youth at risk. Those, now we call them called boys. We don't use that word, called boys. We call them youth at risk because most of them are doing what they are doing, not because they want to. Yes, out of ignorance. So we get representation from them. We get representation from other strong community-based organizations. And so it's a potpourri of stakeholders. We also have representatives of the police, of the civil defense, representative of the local vigilante group, representative of the DSS.
Okay, so this is what you're saying. It's having all of them.
Yes.
In an umbrella.
Yes.
So they can work together and achieve.
Exactly.
An end to electoral violence.
So, in that network, everybody has a role to play. So they meet fortnightly. They organize themselves, look at issues. If there are emerging issues that will pose a threat to the peace and stability of the local government, they quickly meet and then assign responsibility. The police does what they are supposed to do. If it is the duty of the traditional ruler, they do go ahead, you know. So people now took ownership of the peace process. For sure, the political parties are also involved, you know. From time to time, they call the candidates, the party leadership, tell them. In fact, there was a very, very one issue that would have triggered violence. But because of the vigilance of the Community Stakeholder Network, where we had an instance where the APC and the PDP wanted to hold a campaign the same day.
But you were able to...
Yes, so
they collaborated.
Yes, the king had to call the police and then call the stakeholders together. So I believe that. Then another component of what we did...
Okay, before you get to that, let's get to the phone lines. We just have about 3 minutes or so. Let's take other people's opinions, right? So what can be done, all right? He's talked about collaboration. Security agencies and community leaders and all that should come together and ensure that there will be no electoral violence. What else do you think can be done, all right, to curb electoral violence? The number to call is 070-0923-0923. Or you can send a message via WhatsApp to 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, Nigeria.
Yes, you're welcome. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Dakuku from Abokiti.
All right, Dakuku, go on.
So, my God, we are getting the speed of that. Let me tell you, this election violence, it was the worst in this state because of the comment of some people who are political, they say, analysts in this state. Look at what's happening in this state. Now, for me to tell you, like, this 2014. For people's personal interest, that is why Rivers State be in this kind of anarchy in this state. I'm just telling you, when that man mentioned the case, this is one of them, 2015. Why is those words now? I'm just telling you, it's up to time that it's alive after speaking to you. In a chain, those guys who carry the phone shooting in a chain 2014 to 2015. The thing is, they are 20, it's not up to time now that it's alive. All of them have gone. They have killed them because when they come to react, he killed them. And I'm using this as a tool to learn from from those people, more like in my own local government, they say, listen, look at the job. This is the law that government signed that no policy can tell the next state, which I have not seen since I was born in the river state. I've been going to other states, witnessing the election or other states. I've not seen this country. And this thing will cause a very big anarchy in this state.
All right, thank you for calling, Dakuku. Hello, good evening.
My sister, good evening.
You're welcome. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Thank you very much. This is Fred Michael calling from Nkoro.
All right, Fred, go on. Solutions
thank
now.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have a solution.
Go on.
Good evening to the guests in the studio. You have spoken very well. My thought is for the youth, goes for the youth. My message goes for the youth particularly. Because youth are the people that are doing this violence, especially this new appointees. These are the governors as appointed, but they are going to start their job. They are youth. All of them are youth. No elderly person will go and do violence apart from the youth. So they need to preach to the youth, especially to the ruling party in the state, the youth. My advice go to them. I'm advising them, please, they should not take violence in this election. Please, because we are brothers and sisters. We live in various communities for many years. So if you do your brother wrong thing,
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, although we lost that call in between. Mr. Mimberi, just one sentence so that we can just wrap up.
Okay, the police should work with civil society groups, especially those ones that have existing early warning, early response system. That also helped. That will help.
All right. Thank you very much, Livingstone Mimberi, Global Peace Ambassador. Thank you for being on Hard Facts today.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Constance Mega.